This is the Texas Standard.
At the height of the U.S.'s involvement in the Cold War during the late 1950s, a conservative group of some of America's richest businessmen gathered with a lofty mission in mind: to eliminate the communist conspiracy they believed gripped the country and preserve the foundations of the U.S. Constitution, and for that matter, Christianity. At its peak, the John Birch Society had some 100,000 members or so paying dues, and they were focused like a laser beam on quashing communism. And if that promoted small government along the way, then so be it. But as the Cold War faded into history, well, so did the John Birch Society. Fast forward to today. The group is apparently experiencing a comeback, and it's happening right here in Texas. John Savage recently wrote a piece in Politico magazine about the modern-day John Birch Society and how it's finding a stronghold here in the Lone Star State. He joins us now. John, welcome to Texas Standard Studios.
Hey, David. Happy to be back.
Tell us a little bit about the fundamentals of the John Birch Society then and now. Are we talking about pretty much the same organization in terms of its tone and structure?
Very similar. They really tapped into anti-immigrant or anti-illegal immigration, they say, anti-globalism, anti-big government passion. And it's those main core principles are still their main core principles.
But I still think that a lot of people hear that name, John Birch Society, and it takes them back to, you know, the 64 race with Goldwater, when he was trying to project this image of someone who was a moderate Republican, at least in some term, but he had the support of John Birch. And he, I think, famously said at the Republican convention, "Moderation in the defense of freedom is no vice," or something along those lines.
Right.
Yeah. The John Birch Society at that time stood for a kind of almost radicalism.
Absolutely. They have some very valid, I think, legitimate concerns and positions. They also have some more conspiracy-minded, critics would call them fringe positions. Things in the 1960s, like calling water fluoridation, public water fluoridation, a communist plot, tying politicians to groups like the Illuminati. Some of these conspiracy theories have found traction recently. And it's interesting to look at the current resurgence of the John Birch Society through the lens of Trump in the White House and Alex Jones of Infowars.com promoting conspiracy theories.
Where are we seeing the resurgence of the John Birch Society in Texas? And is it, in fact, something that's just waving the flag, adopting the name willy-nilly, the John Birch Society, or are they actually affiliated more formally with some national structure?
Sure. There is a national John Birch Society based out of Appleton, Wisconsin, and there are individual groups or chapters. There's several in Texas, one up in Temple, Texas, the Central Texas chapter of the John Birch Society, mm-hmm. one in Dallas, one in Houston, one in the Texas Panhandle, and they're very organized. It's impressive how organized and how politically involved these people vote. These folks email their legislators. A lot of them are on Twitter. They're engaging in the conversation, and they have probably a disproportionate amount of political clout because of their involvement in the political process.
You've had a chance to attend a meeting, or do they let you?
Several, yes. And they were very, very nice, very kind people.
When you go to these meetings, what typically happens? What's discussed?
Well, several I went to up in Holland, Texas, a little town about an hour north of here, focused on the Constitution. I believe the title of the lecture series was "The Constitution is the Solution." The Birch Society believes that we have moved so far away from adhering to the Constitution, and that has really damaged the country.
I think about the time of the national election, there was a lot of conversation, certainly on the internet, about the rise of the alt-right and what this said about the nature of our politics. What does the rise of the John Birch Society, or the resurgence, or the return of the John Birch Society, at least in Texas, tell you about what's happening within the conservative movement or the Republican Party at large?
Sure. I was speaking to a fellow who studied the John Birch Society for 30 years and other sort of far-right groups. And he mentioned to me this demographic upheaval, that he sees these groups come to the surface when there are large demographic changes in society. And if you look at the folks, number of folks in Texas and in the nation who identify as Protestants, Christians, if you look at the number of folks who identify as white, we've undergone massive demographic change in the U.S. And it certainly has, I believe, has created some angst or some uncomfortableness in a lot of folks in the John Birch Society.
It's been a long time since the John Birch Society was acknowledged as having any meaningful role in the political conversation or in moving the needle when it comes to elections. Is it possible, or do you foresee that whatever this is that you're noticing, the resurgence, that once again the John Birch Society could be a player?
Maybe so. If you look at the GOP primaries and who votes in the GOP primaries, these folks, I think, have outsized influence. And not only folks in the John Birch Society, but other voters who espouse their points of view. With the governor, Governor Greg Abbott, and Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, with their reelection campaigns on the horizon in 2018, I think they'll be courting these voters.
Watch this space. John Savage is. He's been writing about the resurgence of the John Birch Society in Texas for Politico magazine. We'll have a link to his latest at texasstandard.org. It's a very interesting development. Thanks so much for coming in and talking with us about it.
Pleasure to be here, David.